All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Help us, Lord, to forgive those who trespass against us as we forgive. Help us to forgive those who trespass against us, Father. Lord, forgive us as we do that, Lord. Help us, Father, I pray, that your kingdom would come, that you would receive the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your words. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged in you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. To greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was encouraged by the... it's one of the songs we sing. It says, in region of darkness and sorrow and pains, we all lay in ruin, in prison and chains. But Jesus has bought us with his precious blood, the ransom provided to bring us to God. We all lay in ruin, in darkness and sorrow and pains, in prison and chains, and the Lord delivered us from that. It's a blessing that we can be set free from Satan's power. So often people get so caught up in trying to explain what happened, how it happened, learn the theology, and spend all their time caught up in those things while they're still lay in prison, instead of being set free. It's like someone laying in prison and someone opens the door to their jail cell to let them out. And instead of just fleeing, they say, well, wait a minute, where'd you get that key? Wait a minute, who are you? What's your family? Where are you from? What's your history? I need to understand all of this before I can be out of prison. It's foolishness. Jesus set us free from the bonds of this world. Jesus delivered us from Satan's bondage. He set us free from sin. Rise up and flee the prison of these things. This morning I want to open your Bibles. I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians. Chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want us to just think about this verse, these verses here for just a moment. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. How many times is that where the battle that we fight winds up? I would say it's a majority of the time. Whenever we're fighting a battle, the battle we're fighting is with flesh and blood. Whenever someone does us wrong, the first thing we want to do is get revenge. First thing we want to do is settle things, is to make things right. That's wrestling with flesh and blood. That's seeing what is right in front of us and trying to make flesh and blood right. That's trying to put things in order by how we see them in flesh and blood. When someone does us wrong, our flesh says they owe us something. When someone has taken something from us, our flesh says they need to return that to me. Our battle is with flesh and blood the majority of the time. That's what the world battles with, is flesh and blood. They battle with somebody doing me wrong. They battle with somebody not treating me right or saying something about me. It's all about how I am being treated, how people are treating this body. And so the battle has already been missed. The hope for victory is already over. We might settle things in a physical sense, but we've missed the whole battle. This world that we live in is just a very temporary thing. We think of something built on a rock and that's solid. This rock that we live on is just a rock. That is not the real world. The real world is a battle of spiritual beings. You and I, when we were created and brought into existence, were simply made out of the dust. But when God spake unto the man, he became a living soul. When you are brought into existence, you are a living soul that goes beyond flesh and blood. The being that you have will live forever. There is no ending to your existence. You'll live forever because you are created an eternal being. That is what is real. This flesh and blood passes away. It dies. But you go on to live forever. You are a living soul that is going to spend an eternity either with God or separated from God. And what we see in this world is just like a play. It's just like something, it's not even real. But we get so caught up in flesh and blood that flesh and blood becomes the real, and the spiritual life is just something out there, kind of pretend-like. Whenever we're wrestling with flesh and blood, we've lost sight of eternity. And we've lost sight of reality. The Bible says in Revelations that there shall be time no more. Flesh and blood lives in time. It's a start of the clock and an ending of the clock. That's what we know. A beginning and an end. But eternity knows no bounds like that. We have a beginning because our existence started somewhere. And so, naturally, we think it's got to stop somewhere. But it doesn't. Our minds cannot grasp forever, no matter how hard we try. Because we're looking at things through time, through flesh and blood. But stepping into eternity is the real. I've often thought of someone when they're dying. The last moment that they're on this earth, right before they step into eternity. Somebody's doing something. And all of a sudden, they get a hold of an electric wire. Somebody's out in the woods, and all of a sudden they hear a tree falling, and they look up and hear the trees coming right at them. They have a car crash. They have a heart attack. They're laying in a hospital bed suffering. And at one moment before they enter to eternity, here I go. Here I go. Have you ever thought of that? Here I go. I'm leaving all of this pretend that I've put all of my focus on in my life, that I've put everything in my life, that I thought everything was solid and real. And in one moment, you say, I'm leaving this. I don't have time to say goodbye. Bye. I'm gone. I'm entering into eternity. That is real. That is real. Everybody in this world is going to face that time where they step into eternity. That's just the way of life. That's the way of everything, because it steps into what's real. And all of this falls away and is not important anymore. Time. I'm late. I'm running late. I've got to go. Won't matter anymore, because there will be no more time. It's eternity. And we spend so much time wrestling with flesh and blood, wrestling with things that are not real. And we get so caught up in trying to maintain something that's not real. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle's not with this. This is not our battle. Our battle is to overcome those things. Our battle is to keep our focus on things eternal, of real value. It's just so easy, because that's what we see. But the eye of faith sees eternity. The eye of faith sees beyond those things. And we press on. We forgive what someone's done to us, because what is it going to matter how someone has treated me when I walk through that veil into eternity? This body is gone. What is it going to matter how someone or what someone did to this body? That's what the martyrs saw whenever they were being stoned, when they were being burned. It didn't matter what someone was doing to this flesh and blood. Their battle wasn't with flesh and blood. Their battle was with eternity and spiritual things, things that are real. Our battle is with holy things and right things. So many times we see someone bound in sin, caught up in doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And we try to reason with them why they shouldn't be doing this or why they shouldn't be doing that. And we try to use the reasoning of flesh and blood to try to get them to stop doing something wrong. That is not where their battle is. Their battle is with spiritual things, with spiritual wickedness in high places. And Christ died and rose again to set us free from those things. That is our answer. We wonder how sometimes someone could be a drunk and they just keep going back to it over and over and over again. They don't even make any sense in the way they're living. And we just wonder why they can't see clearly. Their battle is not with the way they live. Their battle is with spiritual wickedness in high places. Someone has got a hold of them. Someone has blinded them to their darkness. And all of our reasoning is vain to them. Until they turn and look and repent and surrender to the one who can set them free. The one that they can turn to for deliverance from their bondage. The one who lives in eternity that overcomes flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You know, it's amazing just to think about life. We were talking this week some about the rulers in this world. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness. You know, in mankind, if there was just one man who wanted to take over the world, if there was just one man who wanted to take over the world and he died, why does someone in another country, in another place, step up and take his place? If it's only men. If all there is in this world is men, why do the same things keep popping up all over? Why are there men hungry for dominion in this world? Why is there, you know, there's talk about men, some really powerful men somewhere that are actually controlling all things. And you know, we can see their fingerprints in it. We can see it all around us that there are people trying to get control of humanity. Why, when those men die, does that same control go on? Why does someone else rise up and take their place for that control? The most powerful man in the world, with all of his desire and claims and hope to get power and dominion over people, is one day going to look up and say, "Here I go," and leave it all behind. But then the very thing that he was hoping for and claiming, someone else steps right into its place and goes right after the same thing, knowing full well when they die, it's staying right here with them. It's staying right here. There's a power. There's a wicked power over this earth. It's powerful. It's the spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not a powerful, eloquent man. It is a spiritual power that is vying for the dominion of your soul. There's a spiritual power fighting to keep you in your bondage and in your darkness. And Christ came to set you free. There's a spirit in religion. You know, I've often thought of times whenever I saw people going to church, and I thought for a while, you know, I've told you about, I've been in evangelical churches where the preacher seems real dynamic and he's trying to persuade someone to get up and move, to come down to the front to get saved. And I thought about that and I thought, there's a power there. There's something going on there. More than just this man's persuasive power over you. There's a spiritual power behind spiritual things. There's a spiritual power behind religion. It's called the Antichrist. It is just as real, the call for someone to come and join or be a part of a religious group, as you are sitting in your chair. It is real. You know, there's people that are into the different movements. Some say, oh, it's just emotion. Some of the things that people do in the name of the Pentecostal movement, they say, oh, it's just all emotion. They're just getting caught up. There is a spirit behind all of that. And it may play heavily on your emotions. And emotions may be a big part of it, to get carried away, but there's a spirit causing and calling you to be a part of that. We talked about the evangelical, you know, the pull to come and be saved. And I used to think, well, wait a minute. What about people that taught that you had to be baptized to be saved? And you know, there's that same pull to get you to move, to come down and be baptized, as there is for you to come down and say a prayer. There's that same spiritual drawing for you to be a part of the catechism and become a member of the Catholic Church. There's the same spiritual drawing that draws it all together. It's the spirit of religion. And it's just as real as anything out there. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus came to set us free from those things, to deliver us from the powers of darkness. Spirits are not just the emotional call on our lives. Spirits, the spirit of religions, keep us from walking in the light. You know, we're talking with some people this week. They couldn't quite understand what I was talking about. They'd heard a message about walking in the light and being a part of the body of Christ or the kingdom of God. There's this balance between law and grace that no one can figure out, it seems. You're either just under the law or you're under grace. And when you mention walking in the light, well, that's got to be one or the other also. But it's not. To be a part of the kingdom of God, we've got to be in the teachings of the kingdom of Christ. We've got to become a part of that kingdom. Well, most people say, well, if you're doing that, then you're walking in law. Jesus said, if you don't do everything that the scribes and Pharisees are doing, if your works don't exceed that, then you can't be a part of the kingdom of God. It's not about doing or not doing. It's about being a part of. Whenever we walk in the light, we follow and do by faith what we know to be doing. We accept the kingdom teachings and we begin to walk in them. We live in them and we become a part of it. What we don't understand sometimes is that there can be people that are doing all of those things that are still walking in law. There are people who can do everything right on the outside with flesh and blood and still not be walking in the light. That's what I tried to explain this man that was confused about this. He asked the question, he said, can a person be a part of the kingdom of God? He had heard the message that about being a part of the kingdom of God without walking in the light or without obeying. I don't remember the title of the message. It's about being in the kingdom of God saved outside of the kingdom. Okay, being saved outside of the kingdom. He said that there was a couple that were trying to join their church, and they didn't know about divorce and remarriage. They just had some concerns about it. And some of the people said, well, yeah, let them in. You know, they're not divorced and remarried. They just don't know about it. They're doing a lot of the other things. Just go ahead and let them in. Some of them were saying, well, I don't know. They were concerned about it. So they called and asked what we thought about it. And I said, I just told them, tried to explain to him that the kingdom of God are His teachings. And if we don't believe them, we're not a part of it. It's just that simple. Well, they don't understand yet. How does walking in the light fit in with that? The teachings of Christ are right there. And that is the bare minimum of what we accept as being a part of a Christian. Or being a part of the kingdom of God. If someone doesn't know about the teachings of Christ, they're not a part of it. It's that simple. If there's something I wonder, what side of this position am I going to land on? You know, maybe someone can still go to war and kill their enemy. I'm probably not going to do it myself, but I'm not going to judge someone that would. You don't know what side you're on. Christ's kingdom says, love your enemies. It's just that simple. Why not just put the barrier of the kingdom of God on what Christ taught and stand on it? Okay, what about walking in the light? I said, well, walking in the light is among those people who are accepting the teachings of the kingdom of God. There's people that are living that way. They're living in those teachings. There's religions that are following that are doing all the right things. But when light comes and it's going to cost them something, they don't want to see anymore. They're not walking in light. They want to stand in their darkness in hope that they're still in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is those who are walking in this kingdom, that are living in this kingdom and walking in the light that this kingdom produces and being a part of it. If we're not a part of it, we're a part of this world. There is no in-betweens. There's this world, there's the next world. And we're in either one or the other. There's sheep that slip in, or there's wolves that slip in and appear like sheep. But they look like sheep while they're here. They look like sheep. But inside, they're ravening wolves, and God will separate those. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not our place to set all things in order. It's not our place to fix all those things. Our battle is with principalities and powers. I think that's where prayer comes in. Sometimes we try to fix so many things with reasoning instead of just submitting to Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Sometimes there's problems happen in the church. Things come up and it just seems like, what in the world? Things are just falling apart. And I have to get back to the place to say, Lord, this ain't my work. It's yours. And if it falls to nothing, Thy will be done. It don't matter. This congregation is all just flesh and blood. And when the spiritual side of that is all right and we're walking in the light, we'll have unity and fellowship whenever we're doing what we're supposed to. But if I have to try to corral this like flesh and blood would with the rules, it won't fit and it won't work. Whenever we're walking in the spiritual light of what we're supposed to be doing, we have fellowship one with another. We have unity. We belong. And when we're not, we're just fighting with flesh and blood. Just like the lawyers. Just like the military. Just like the football players. This is God's battle. This is our battle. Is with spiritual powers to overcome those things, overcoming those temptations, overcoming that desire to draw us back into a battle with flesh and blood. Overcoming that desire to have to understand everything in our flesh and blood mind before we can move. Having to figure out everything. That's flesh and blood. Faith says, hey, the prison door just swung open. I'm walking out of it. I'm leaving. I'm not going to sit here and wait until I can figure everything out. I'm not going to get my calculator out and see how wide the door is. My tape measure and see if I can fit before I go. I'm out of here. That's what faith does. Just gets up and walks. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood keeps us bound in this life. Keeps us tied to this dying world, and keeps us bound to the wrong side when we walk through eternity. Our battle is with spiritual wickedness in high places. If we would remember that, keep our focus there, keep our hearts there. Look where you get tangled up next time you get tangled up in something. What got you tangled up in it? Trying to wrestle with this flesh and blood. Paul says, count yourself dead. Reckon yourselves dead unto this life. Reckon yourselves like you've already faced that last moment of your life. He said, here I go. Reckon yourselves like you've already entered into eternity. Like this flesh and blood doesn't matter anymore. And that all that counts is you being alive unto Christ. That is where the power is. Satan cannot resist the power of God. He has no defense against it. The only thing he has is the power of a few feeble little men that listen to him and that carry out his will. That's the only dominion he has. And that is falling apart. Don't become trapped in it. Die to yourself. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. We get so caught up in trying to measure it, how big it is, how heavy it is, how long it'll take. Die. And enter the real battle instead of the one with flesh and blood. May the Lord add His blessings. Hope I was able to get that across, what I was wanting and understood. Did I leave anything confusing? Got a question? Cannot make anyone do right. I was reading in Deuteronomy. I'm not sure what. The whole chapter, the first part of the chapter, the first third of it, was saying that if the children of Israel do this, and it just went through blessing after blessing that would happen to them. And then the second two-thirds of the whole chapter, is a big chapter, says, and if they do this, this is what's going to happen to them. The prophet just said, this is what happens if you do this. This is what's going to happen if you do this. I do not hate Jewish people. Okay? I want to just give a clarity. I don't hate the Jewish people. But what happened to them when Hitler rose up was simply something that God said would happen because they would not follow Him. Not wishing that on anybody, that's exactly what God said would happen. Your enemy will rise up and destroy you. That's just facts. That's what God said would happen. I hate it. I'd have tried to help anybody I could have. But the things that happen to people on that magnitude, it goes right back to what the Bible says. And people are going to die and go to hell because they will not turn to God. That doesn't mean I hate them. That doesn't mean I'm mean. That doesn't mean I'm cruel. That is just simply the way it is. And when we present the teachings of Christ and the judgments that are coming upon sin to people, we cannot force them to do it. We just simply say, this is what is going to happen. We are not the judge. We're not going to be the one bringing it about. We just say, this is what's going to happen. And they make the choice to do either good or evil. They make the choice to reap what they are sowing. It's just simply the way it is. Does that help a little bit? Clarify that? We're not the judge. We're just saying that this is what God says is going to happen to those who do that. I don't have to make any judgment. I don't have to do one thing with your flesh and blood. This is just what's going to happen. And you can do with it what you have to do or need to do or want to do. The prophet didn't hate the people. He just told them what God told him to say. And he was hated for it. By flesh and blood. Because all they could see was what was going to happen to them. Instead of seeing, they just didn't believe. Instead of seeing the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. When we present truth, people can either hide from it or cling to it. Anybody else? Have a comment or something? I'd like to add?
Come to the conclusion that there's a mastermind behind it. But at the same time, when you look at the world, and like what you were saying, is why when one good man dies, another man comes up and does the same thing, only to die and have another man come up and do the same thing. When you see how this world works and operates, you also see a mind behind that whole thing that isn't just people drumming up their own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems foolish to not be able to see the spirit, at least to some extent. You know, I don't know if I've learned a lot today about it, but.
Amen.
I've thought that a lot over the years. The things that we have seen and we grew up in the world, whether on television or whatever, associations we had, music, sports, games, whatever. And then when you turn to the Lord and begin to follow Him, and your eyes are open and you see these things, you see how not all the way out, how wicked. And whether the person that sang it or said it or did it knew he was being used that way or not, you know, I often give them the benefit of the doubt. They may not have known, but they were still being used. And it's all of a part of that one plan. And it reminds me of a speech that President Reagan made during the last years of the Cold War with Russia over nuclear warfare. And he gave a speech there with them hearing, and said, if there was, for some reason, some alien outside force coming against the world, we'd forget our differences and join together against one common enemy. And I had to think, he didn't realize what he was saying. The Lord is coming again someday, and every nation shall war against him and forget their differences. They're all doing the same thing.
Amen.
The Bible also says to resist not evil, or to resist not poverty. I appreciate this message and what I saw this past week and things that happened. We need to learn something. I need to learn something. Right? Everyday life, not resist if I have an enemy against me. If the enemy does not have any power, or very little, if you do not resist him, just give yourself to him, let him have what he wants, it melts him down. That's the opposite of what happened. I'm not blaming this man that got shot, but I want to take a lesson of this. If I would have stood there, not run, that enemy has very little power. He might have not even got shot if he was dead. Go ahead, you can have everything you want. What else can I give you? Instead of calling 911 and running off. I'm not blaming him. I'm not saying I would have done the same thing. It would only be with the grace of God that I could have stood there. And that, I mean, if we can learn that lesson, our enemies or our whatever we face in just simple life, if we give ourselves, they have no power.
Amen.
But we need to learn that. We need to learn what we need to learn from day to day, and it takes the grace of God to do it. We cannot do it by ourselves.
Amen.
I mean, I learned a lot. I'm still learning. I want to learn. What we need to learn what you're still going to face in this life.
Amen.
To stand for the Lord and give our lives, give our faith, and be ready to give it. Whatever comes, then we're ready for that.
Amen.
And we do it for the Lord.
Amen. When you're dead, what can they take from you?
I appreciate the sermon. And got a little bit of something I was trying to figure out. Toy Story, I don't pronounce the name right. It says something in his book that he said it shouldn't have been written in there, that you should not have anger without a cause. It should be written in there. And here today he's talking about in Ephesians 6:12. He said, it says in here, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Wouldn't that be considered as flesh and blood when you have anger with the cause of the brother? So it definitely shouldn't have any. What he's saying is it should be in there. And going along with what Mike was talking about, I kind of thought the same area too. And they're trying to give warning signs to someone. You see the warning sign, but they might not see it, or they might see it and just don't care about it. It's just grace is the only thing that they will have to be able to get them to turn around there. They can choose it more.
Amen.
When somebody's taking advantage of you and you get angry at the person, it feeds them. They know they're taking advantage of you, and you let them take advantage of you, and you let them take advantage of you, and you let them take advantage of you, and you're like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. And it feeds that person. It gives them like a reason to, I mean, they know that they're using you anyway. So, and the more, if you don't get angry, they have no power. Like what Joe was saying, they have no power over you. If you just, you know, go do whatever you got to do and take care of it, and you don't get angry, the person doesn't win. But the more angry you get, it seems like it just beats them. I mean, and then they want to, you know, okay, I push this button down, watch this, watch this, watch this. But it's real hard to let somebody take advantage of you over and over and over and over. That's the grace of God. But, I mean, sometimes we fail in that area. Sometimes your flesh comes up and it's like, I'm not going to let this person take advantage of me anymore. But you lose. I mean, if you could just get control of your emotions, you know? I often wonder, like, when you read the Mars Mirror and things like that, how those people felt. I mean, at some point, God had to step in because I don't think a man should take that, you know? I mean, I think it was the one guy, I don't remember his name, but he was running across the river, the ice broke, and he turned around and helped the guy. I mean, how could you do that knowing that you're going to die? A horrible, horrible death. I mean, I don't know, I get mad after the water's going to cast sometimes, you know?
I think it was 2 weeks ago, you preached a sermon about trusting God. Whatever comes into our lives, He permitted it. He allowed that to happen. And just that hiding place was the will of God. And just trust and rest in Him. This is God's will for us.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing. All right, let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness again and Your mercy. Go with us. Help us be faithful to You. Again, we just ask that You'd help us, Lord, to ever keep in mind eternity, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. No.